Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. If you're still coming down from Endgame and you need another sort of dark and twisty action flick, you might want to check out a new film called El Chicano that hits theaters today. The film follows LAPD detective Diego Hernandez, who's investigating a murderous drug cartel linked to his brother's death. Frustrated with the system, he assumes the role of El Chicano, a legendary vigilante slash hero who dispenses justice as he sees fit. El Chicano features veteran actors and some surprises, like George Lopez in a serious role in a predominantly Latinx cast, which makes it newsworthy. But it also, frankly, it made it a hard sell to some studios. Raul Castillo stars in the title role. You might remember Raul as Richie from HBO's Looking, or from his role in last year's We the Animals that earned him a nomination for our Independent Spirit Award. Raul, welcome.
Thank you, Allison.
Where did you first get the script for El Chicano?
It first came to me through my agent in 2016, I believe.
How did he say what he or she? He said, Raul, I got what?
I mean, they sent it over, you know, as they normally do for me to kind of peruse and look at. And it kind of sold itself. It was like, as soon as I, you know, picked it up and took a look at it, I understood what I was looking at. It took a minute to kind of wrap my mind around it, it was an exciting read for sure.
So when you first read about Diego, what did you think of his character? What did you think about his overall development over the course of the film?
Well, I thought he had so much character. You know, he had a real clear mission. The stakes are incredibly high in this film from the get-go. And I just love the journey that he goes on. It's because I thought of it as an action film. I didn't realize going into the process how emotionally exhausting it would be. At the core, it is a family drama. It's about the police detective whose twin brother who lost his twin brother to gang violence. Right. And I think he has one way of thinking about his brother, and at the beginning of the film, and he comes to understand his brother, and I think even lay some demons to rest in the course of the film, and kind of see his brother as a more fully formed human being rather than just another stereotype or what, you know. Yeah, so the character journey was just, I knew it was the kind of thing that I could sink my teeth into. And that's as an actor, that's what I get excited by.
Well, you said it was so emotionally draining and also physically, I have to imagine, because it is an action film and it's violent too. And you're in the whole movie.
That's right.
There's no rest for you. One, what is that like to carry an entire movie?
Yeah, actually, speaking of Looking, which we just mentioned a little bit ago, I called up Jonathan Groff, who was the lead of that show, and because he was such a great leader in that show, he sort of led through his grace and kindness and his warmth. I think it sort of rallied not only cast but crew around the project, and I just see how you can, as a number one on the call sheet, as they say, how you can sort of set the tone. This was my first opportunity to have that kind of experience, and it was exciting. I like to work. I you know, a lot of times you go off to shoot something and you shoot maybe a day or two a week, and you're sitting in your hotel room for like the rest of the time and twiddling your thumbs. And I'd like to be on set. I like the sense of satisfaction at the end of a long shoot date. I like to have something to focus on. So I've been looking for this kind of thing for a very long time, and I think that I was well prepared for it by the time that I got to it. As an actor, I think I finally had the right body of experience to approach it.
Isn't that interesting? Sometimes there's parts or jobs or things that you want when you're young, but you actually really don't have sort of the depth personally of a personal experience to bring to it. You're 41.
Yes.
Yeah. So imagine getting a role like this when you were 26.
Yeah. I don't know.
You probably didn't have the reservoir of of stuff.
It's the skill set, right? Yeah. No, absolutely. It was definitely. I felt like a well-oiled machine by the time I got to it, you know, and I felt like, Ben Hernandez Bray, who's the director of our film and whose real baby this script is sort of born out of personal tragedy, mm-hmm. in a way for him to transform really trauma into something positive and into something, into art. And
he lost his brother.
He lost his brother to gang violence, and he lost a child at birth, and as a way to get him out of that kind of dark period of his life, Joe Carnahan, a producer, and his best friend, kind of, you know, picked him up and said, you know, we got to finish that thing that you've been trying to write since Craig died, since your brother died. Let's finish that, see that thing through, and let's make, you know, as a way to lift his friend out of that. Mm-hmm. Joe kind of helped him see the project through, and here we are, you know, years later, and I feel very fortunate to have been sort of his muse, mm-hmm. For this character.
My guest is Raul Castillo. We're talking about the new film El Chicano, which opens today. So they'll probably give me the hairy eyeball after this. Your marketing people, the marketing team of this film is calling it a Latinx superhero film. Mm-hmm. Some write-ups have called it Latinx Batman. Mm-hmm. Forget it. What do you call it? What do you think this film is?
I mean, it's an action film. It's with a lot of heart. You know, it's gritty. We got George Lopez. We got Kate del Castillo. We have people like newcomers like David Castañeda and Mr. Criminal, the rap artist. You know, like, it's just this like an incredible array of Latino talent. We haven't seen an all Latino cast like this in 21 years since Selena in a major motion picture. We Latinos represent 25% of the movie going audience, and yet we're only in less than 3% of the roles on screen. I think that's starting to change. I think, you know, last night I was at the premiere for the Starz show Vida, which I'm doing the second season of.
That's cool.
Yeah, a really great project, and really proud to be a part of it. And also an all Latino cast and Latinx cast. And there was a lot of conversations last night about, you know, the importance of not just being in front of the camera, but behind the camera. That we're in the writers' rooms. That we're, you know, we're in the position of DP. That, you know, we're in the editing room. That we're like, you know, we're in all these different positions, and that's incredible. And I'm just like so proud to be a part of a film that like is taking up that mantle and really doing it proudly. Yeah.
What's something in this film? So it's funny when you see certain films and you're part of a certain culture or group, you recognize little things that maybe other people wouldn't recognize. You know, when I went to see Black Panther and said to a friend, I thought it's so cool. Like when the spaceship went up, it was an African mask on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they didn't say, I was like,
awesome.
I was like, you got to go see that again. You know, there's a part in this point in this movie when somebody calls your partner a coconut.
Yeah. Calls him a California Mexican. It's a Midwestern Mexican.
So, I mean, that's something that somebody who's in the Latinx community would laugh.
Yeah,
no.
Totally.
Are there some other sort of moments like that in the script?
Yeah.
It's
all over. I mean, yeah, there's that stuff is, it's, I mean, just the appearances by all these people, all these different, like, there's also, it's very East LA. You know, it's I feel like I grew up on movies like Blood and Blood Out and American Me, and we haven't seen stuff like that in so
uh-huh.
long. And it's in that tradition. And we just lost John Singleton recently, and I grew up on Boys in the Hood, and that was such a part of my bringing up, my adolescence, my even when I started thinking about going into this business. That movie was pivotal, and I think it's in the DNA of this film. There's all kinds of little things like that. There's so many. It was just a trip because I've been on so many projects where I'm the only Latino, and this was it was amazing just to be like, just there was so much even in between takes. Like, I mean, George Lopez like kept us rolling in between takes. I mean, the role is serious. It doesn't lend itself to comedy, but I mean, he just had me. He had us all cracking up throughout the shoot. So that was that was amazing.
It's so interesting also to see him in that serious role.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's great. I mean, it's gritty. It's like, you know, Joe's films, The Gray, Narc. You know, it's there. You could feel it in the fabric of this film for sure. That kind of gritty, tough as nails, hard bitten, you know, crime drama, but with this like fantastical superhero character. It was great. It's great to see George like that. It's like you've never, it's George like you've never seen him. And for me, I grew up on his comedy. I've been such a fan for so many years. There were moments on set where I had to kind of pinch myself. Because I'm like, it's like Raul the fan watching right. George the actor.
It took me a minute to realize who it was.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And so I thought it was cool. Like he really disappeared into the role.
Absolutely. And he worked. He listened to Ben. He was such a team player. And that's the thing. That was the amazing thing about the film was how everyone came to work, you know, and just checked their egos at the door and committed to the project because we knew there was something really important. It was, you know, it was more important than our own individual careers. It was something bigger than all of us. And so we had a good time making it. It was a great, and then, you know, there's just shorthand, you know, it felt like familia being in there together. Like, even though most of the actors I'd never met, Amy Garcia, who plays Diego's wife, Vanessa, I met early on. We were introduced when we knew we were both going to do the project, and I think between she and Marlene Forte, who plays the character of Diego's mother, I know Marlene from Labyrinth Theater Company here in New York City. She's a longtime member. I'm a newer member, but still, you know, that's also the, you know, formerly the Latino Actors Base. So there was a real sense of just a familiarity among the cast, even though a lot of us hadn't met and some of us had, you know. Mm-hmm. It was great. And it was a very unique experience making it, for sure.
My guest is Raul Castillo. We're talking about his new film, El Chicano, which opens today. So there's this interesting, the film raises some interesting questions about justice mm-hmm. and about dispensing justice, mm-hmm. because as Diego becomes this vigilante, he earns the name the Ghetto Grim Reaper. When you thought about El Chicano's morals, was that something that you discussed and you kind of had to work through, this idea of he might be doing the right thing the wrong way? Or?
Right, right. No, I mean, I don't know. I think you read the script and it is what it is. It's a genre film. It's like let's kill some bad guys and blow up some cars and stuff. I mean, it's not the first of its kind. Like, it's been done so much. It's just like great to see it with an all brown cast, to be honest. I was interested in this guy who he was so dead set on going down and doing the good thing and doing the right thing, and in the process developed a negative opinion about someone, his own brother, who he didn't realize was much more complex. Mm-hmm. That character journey was interesting to me. The fact that he was so judgmental that he forgot to distanced himself from his own community in the process. So the journey that he's actually deepening his relationship to his community, I think that was interesting to me.
It's the work you've done has been really interesting and indie and sort of edgy. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts about doing a big old action thing? Did you ever really consider that as something that you would be doing?
I mean, I always want to reinvent myself and I always want to try different things. And I think the whole reason I got into acting, I mean, I've always been a sensitive kid. I was like known as the crybaby in my family.
Who gave you that name?
I mean, who didn't? I was like everyone I knew growing up. Like, but I just think like empathy is one of our greatest assets as artists, as an actor. I thought acting for me, I'm from McAllen, Texas, really small border town. I thought that I think acting and filmmaking and theater and all this stuff could be a way for me to see the world and learn about the world and deepen my understanding of the human condition. So it's always important for me to try new things and move into spaces that are, you know, that are new for me. Like when people would ask me if it was, you know, as a straight guy playing a gay character on Looking, like, I was like, no, I have so many gay friends. I learned so much about what they go through by playing that character. And for me, that's important as a person, just to learn, you know, just to see the world and all its multi, you know,
faceted, dimensional, multis.
It's all technicolor, you know, yeah, yeah.
So how does a kid get from a border town in Texas to New York City to act?
Yeah, it was a bit of a journey, but I mean, New York was always like, I mean, New York was such a part of my consciousness. It was like, you know, I grew up on New York films like Scorsese. I mean, Taxi Driver is one of my favorite movies, you know. New York theater artist. I'm a theater actor. You mm-hmm. know, I came up in the theater world. I'm a playwright as well. And it was just, I think early on, I was enamored with New York. John Leguizamo's one-man shows, Miguel Pinedo, the great playwright, like, you know, just so much art that came out of here that I was, I mean, the Velvet Underground, whatever, you know, so many things I could point to that just like, you know, hip hop, like just like so many things about New York that are just fascinating as a city. So, and then I knew as an artist, I think that Hollywood and LA, LA is an interesting city, and I've grown to love it. Really, you know, I think the further east that I go, the more that I fall in love with the city. you know, I've enjoyed making my career out of New York and sort of keeping it here, because in New York, at the end of the day, no one cares who you are. You know what I mean? They don't, so it's
hurry
it's,
up and swipe your MetroCard. Exactly. I don't care who you are.
Keep going. Yeah, totally. So it's humbling, and it's nice to disappear into the city. I think it's a city that you can sort of disappear in all the right ways, and so it took a while though. I went to college in Boston and I spent a couple of years in Austin, not knowing what I was doing. But I love this city. It's great.
The end of El Chicano is kind of open. Mm. Is there going to be El Chicano 2?
I hope so.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it was so fun. I hope, you know, it's funny because right now there's like a lot of chatter online about the movie and reviews and this and that. And I hope that we have an opportunity to like just build on what we've already established, just to like, take what we're learning from making the first one and just keep building on it. I mean, we proved that we could do it. We could do an all Latino cast and with this wide release and get it all out there. I mean, it's opening in my hometown in McAllen this weekend. My family's gonna get to go see it. I'm just like, it's the kind of film that, like, my cousins, like, that I, you know, I'm just so excited. It's the kind of film that we grew up on and that we got really excited about You know, I grew up on like the Sylvester Stallones and the, you know, all those, you know, Steve McQueens and all the, you know, all those kind of fun, over the top type genre films. And I think that's why Latinos make up 25% of the movie going audience, because we love that kind of stuff. You know, we get into that. You know, life is tough as it is. Sometimes it's good to just have a little bit of an escape. But I guess that's always like, you know, what was that? The beginning of the Roots album, Do You Want More? The hip hop group, where I think it's a clip from a Spike Lee movie, if I'm not mistaken. It might be from Mo' Better Blues, but it's about the conversation about giving the people what they want or giving the people what they need. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting conversation that we as people of color have to confront every time we make a piece of art. And I'm learning a lot in the process of making this film, because it's so, like you said, it's so different than anything that I've done. But I'm equally just as proud of it as I am of all the work that I've done.
My guest has been Raul Castillo. His new film is called El Chicano. It opens in theaters today. Raul, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate it.
Coming up next, a new documentary opening at Tribeca Film Festival tells the story of Michael Hutchence, the co-founder of the rock band INXS. Stay with us.